This from a concerned citizen in response to a recent program on managing the light brown apple moth. No, don't spray. Just do not spray. No more chemicals, no more pesticides. No bad stuff on my food, our community, our health. Okay, okay. But wait, what about those pests?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Welcome aboard out there. You are tuned into the 583rd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way over there in Singapore who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, and the other girls are gone today. It's just you and I, Nikki.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So Parmley and Carol are both out today, but Nikki's here, and folks, you are here as well. You know, the other day an associate came into my office seeking a bit of advice, and as we were talking, she spotted an ant crawling across my computer desk. It was a single ant, a scout, I am sure, for looking for a source of food, maybe a bagel crumb or something that it could alert its community about. Hey, look what I found at Olson's desk. Something like that. But before I could administer my solution for such invaders, she gently picked up the ant, placed it in the palm of her hand, and carried it outdoors. So how do we manage pests from here, folks? Clearly no one wants poison sprayed in his or her environment, and some among us do not want to harm any living thing. So today we pause to ask, how do we manage pests that would, if allowed to run free, steal our food and force us to go hungry? Here to help us explore the question, we have a couple of the world's best pest control experts. We'll start with Dr. Miles Bader, who is the author of Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters. Welcome to the Food Chain, Dr. Bader.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike.
So you're out there in Florida?
Florida.
No bugs there.
Heck no. No bugs at all. You believe that? I'll tell you another one.
Yeah, so you're a public health expert. You got into the business of writing about managing bugs. How did that happen?
Oh, gosh. I've been writing crazy books for almost 20 years now. It didn't start with bugs. It started with food secrets, chef secrets, mm-hmm. and grandmother's cooking secrets. And it started with my patients bringing in all those secrets over about a 20-year period. And I just kept compiling them, and when I retired, I started writing a book about food secrets, and I had a chapter in there about bugs, insects, and critters, and household hints. It's sort of a combination book. So that's how it really got started, and I've had so many inquiries from all the radio and television shows that I've done about the bug chapter in the book that I decided to do a complete book on it.
And thus, Club the Bugs and Scare
Club
the Critters.
Club the Bugs, Scare the Critters.
Good. And who pays your way? Do you receive a grant from, like, the Monsanto Corporation or something?
No. Strictly on my own.
Strictly
this
on your own?
This is a family affair.
Okay, good. Also with us today, we have Thomas Whitman, president of Gophers Limited. Welcome back to the Food Chain, Thomas.
Good morning, Michael.
Ooh, wait a minute here. Let's try turning that microphone up there. Let's try it out.
Good morning, Michael.
That works much better when it's turned on. Gosh, it's been a while, about a year since we last worked together, and You, as president of Gophers Limited, your job, of course, is to get rid of gophers, but you've since expanded that, I note, to include all kinds of different critters, correct?
Right. I'll work with any animal now. My main focus is to find a positive solution for any conflict between humans and animals.
Mm-hmm. And there are some, aren't there?
Oh, there's a lot, especially with gophers, which is what I focus on mostly.
So you got your start as a farmer.
Right. I'm partner of Molino Creek Farming Collective, and
which is a collective of people who grow dry farm tomatoes, some of the best dry farm tomatoes in the universe, absolutely the best.
Thank you, Michael. I think that way too. And then I worked at the University of California in Santa Cruz at the organic teaching farm there, where I, because I've been controlling gophers as an organic farmer. I started teaching the apprentices that learn how to farm there, how to control gophers and other things. And before I knew it, I was giving presentations to the followers of the farm, and then I started having clients, and now I give presentations all over the state, and now I have a new video out, and it's really exciting.
So the world of gophers expands. Do people really get obsessed with gophers?
You know, obsessed is a very good word to use, Michael, because people not only are obsessed with gophers, they have this funny, humorous connection with gophers.
Absolutely. My grandfather used to sit and tell gopher stories for hours. I couldn't believe that anybody would be so fascinated with gophers. Dr. Bader, do you find that same fascination or obsession true with other critters as well? People just become so upset, like spiders, for example?
Oh, spiders, dust mites, bed bugs. You know, we handle them all. Mosquitoes, keep them out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the book basically covers every kind of bug, insect, and critter in the house, outside the house, up a tree.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that people are become obsessed with them, with critters like that?
Well, yeah, some people do have phobias or obsessed with them, especially spiders.
Spiders? Mm-hmm. That would be my daughter, I think. You write something very interesting, though, with respect to spiders. They being meat eaters, they are our friends. And you say something that really caught my attention in that we are never farther than 12 feet from a spider.
Oh, you'll be amazed. They're ubiquitous. They're just literally everywhere. And it's really easy to keep them out of the house. Can I give you one of the methods?
Oh, sure.
Okay, well, you want to take a spray bottle, just a regular quart spray bottle, fill it with white vinegar and put a teaspoon of coconut oil in there.
Coconut oil.
Then spray all the corners in your house. And do that about every 4 to 6 weeks, and you'll never see a spider in your home or another cobweb in your house.
Hmm. You know, you could spray coconut oil and water on me, and I wouldn't go away.
Well, I don't know. Has anybody tried it?
No. No, but I seem to have a thing with coconuts. I'm quite taken with them, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
Coconut ice cream, you know.
Well.
I would like to talk for just a moment about this whole notion of humane pest control.
Sure.
And this is something that last week we did a program here about finding some way of managing the light brown apple moth, which is threatening the agriculture of the nation's salad bowl here. And there are a lot of city people who have come to this notion that I think that we simply don't have to fight these critters, that we can just... I guess in the immortal words of Rodney King, can't we just all get along? and that seems to be the attitude with respect to pests or bugs. Can't we all just get along? And so they're looking for a different way of approaching this other than with poisons.
Well,
and I note that both of you, Dr. Bader and Thomas Whitman, are very well versed in that whole notion of going about this in another way. So... I'd like to start with you and ask you what you think humane pest control would mean.
What humane pest control would mean? Well,
yeah.
Exactly what the entire book. It's all natural solutions to getting rid of them all. And especially dust mites. Love to talk about that because I like to get into that with children.
Mm-hmm. Dust mites?
Dust mites are, of course, all
but,
over
but
the house.
But let me ask you this, start with this notion of humane. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, you don't want to kill them off, you mean. You want to get rid of them without killing anything off?
Mm-hmm.
My book doesn't really cover that all-humane part of it.
Okay, good.
We will kill some of the things off with all-natural solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But now the critters, we don't kill any critters off. I mean, everything is all-natural, but it will chase the critters away from your property and keep them away.
Okay, so then what you would say humane would be to chase them away instead of killing them.
When it comes to the critters, with a lot of the insects, we do kill them with all natural methods.
Okay, let me ask Thomas what he would mean by humane pest control.
Okay, Michael, well, in my business, I deal primarily with gophers and moles. And when I think of what's humane in terms of gopher control... And unfortunately, when you grow a garden or a lawn, you're elevating the food supply for a rodent like a gopher, and that increases the population of the animals. And so what you have to do is kind of lower the population in order to do it. And doing it humanely is what I try to do. I use a trap that is lethal, but it's very humane to the animal.
Which means it disposes of them quickly without...
Right. So we're talking herd management here.
Okay, good. All right, fair enough, folks. This is The Food Chain. We're talking... This is What's Eating What Radio, after all. And today we're talking about managing pests in humane sorts of ways with natural pest control experts, Dr. Miles Bader, who is the author of Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters, and Thomas Whitman, president of Gophers Limited, and also with his new video, Easy Gopher Control Without Poisons. And, of course, we have you. We're curious to know which critter you want to know how to manage. We have the experts here today. Pick up your phone and join us and ask which critter is puzzling you, and we'll see if we can't find a way of managing them for you with these experts. Right back, do stay tuned. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. This is The Food Chain, What's Eating What Radio. What's Eating What Us Today are bugs that eat our foods. So we're curious to know which bugs bug you and how we can get rid of them humanely and safely without poisons. We have the experts with us today, Dr. Miles Bader, who is the author of Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters, and Thomas Whitman, president of Gophers Limited. And I guess when we say limited, we're talking about limiting the gophers, right, Thomas?
Well, that's exactly the play on words, Michael. In fact, most people think it's Gophers Unlimited.
Right. And then with respect to clubbing the bugs, Dr. Bader, I guess that's what you're doing, right? Clubbing them?
Well, we're chasing them away naturally. Chasing Everything them? Is all natural.
Okay, let's start with a bug here that bugs most people that own homes, and that would be the termites, of course. And we have a question on the board. If you care to join us with your critter today, the phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Let's talk with Chuck. Chuck, welcome to The Food Chain.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been hearing ads for orange oil to control termites, and I'm wondering if Dr. Bader knows anything about how actually effective that is.
Interesting question, because that question was asked to me several times by people who learned that I was going to do this show. Orange oil, does it work, Dr.
Well,
Bader?
If you want to spray it in the area, the trouble is with something like with an oil like that, you've got to spray it around the whole base of the house. And sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. You've really got to find the nest and kill off the nest.
Ah.
And if you've got a real serious problem, I mean, if you're seeing the evidence of termites around the house, I would really call a professional, to be honest with you. If you just want to keep them away, or if you know where the nest is, you can make a bait. Our whole first chapter is on fire ants, carpenter ants, termites, all type of ants. And if you make a bait out of wet cat food, a little boric acid, and grape jelly, they love grape jelly for some reason, make little tiny balls, leave them out for the workers. They'll bring it back to the queen and kill off the nest. But it depends how bad the infestation is, really, how you want to handle that.
Huh, so you really have to know where the nest is, right?
If you know where the nest is, there are a number of ways in the book. Catnip actually works as well as anything else. You make a tea out of catnip and spray that around. That'll keep termites away completely. they don't like catnip, but you may get every neighborhood cat coming over. So,
well, then you'll take care of the rats too. So, a good deal all the rest.
Maybe the cats will eat the termites.
That's a real interesting. That's a real interesting question that you just brought up, and that is predator critters. Hold on, Chuck. We'll see if we can follow up with you. But one of the things that was mentioned with respect to the light brown apple moth is that instead of spraying pheromones, which you also mentioned in your book, Doctor, why don't we bring in the predators of these light brown apple moth and turn them loose? But as you were just mentioning, Doctor, when you bring in something, you might cause another problem, true?
Yeah, with the neighborhood cats, but you can also inject nematodes, small microscopic worm, into the nest. If you know where the nest is, it's very hard to find a termite colony. So it's a problem.
Okay, Thomas, let me ask you this. What about bringing in other animals to control animals? Don't you run the risk of further exacerbating an out-of-balance system when you do that? Or is it a reasonable approach?
Well, I'd say you do exacerbate the system if you bring in an exotic, non-native animal.
Mm-hmm.
But what I advocate is encouraging natural predators. And in the course of gophers, the biggest predator is the barn owl. And so I'm always encouraging people to build barn owl boxes. And in that way, you know, a barn owl family, a mama, dad, and their two fledglings can eat 1,000 gophers in one season.
Wow.
So that's an incredible amount of gophers to lower the population. So
what do you do, build a box and put catnip in it?
No, you just that's funny, Michael. You just build the box, and they come, because the barn owls are looking for nesting sites all the time.
Okay, and so then you don't have to, I mean, it's just a box, and the barn owl will recognize it as a barn owl box.
Well, it's specifically,
put a sign up.
Built box, yeah, that has a hole that's the right size and everything. In fact, if your listeners are interested in barn owls, there's a great project in Marin called the Hungry Owl Project. I think it's hungryowlproject.org. And they build boxes, and they rehabilitate barn owls and other raptors that have been hurt by poisons and automobiles.
Okay, let's go to Chuck. Do you have any follow-ups on that, Chuck?
Yeah, my concern with the termites is when you see them, like, in your 2x4 studs, and you can see the little holes and the looks like sawdust coming out of it. I take it from the answer that by the time you're at that point, it's too late for the orange oil.
Yeah, I would. Prevention is really the best way to get rid of, you know, to keep them away completely. If you've got a termite problem, it's really probably fairly serious if you're seeing the residue of termites and you're seeing them in the wood. I mean, I would get a professional out there. I wouldn't mess around with it at all. Termites are just too serious a problem to take into your own hands.
And to heck with the humane treatment of termites, right?
Right. inhumane.
Well, be inhumane when it comes to termites. Chuck, any follow-ups?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Mike. Folks, your phone number's today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're talking about managing pests, and I'm sure you have a pest that you would like to manage. Well, we have the people here who can help you. Thomas Whitman, who is the president of Gophers Limited, and also Miles Bader, who is the author of Club the Bugs. These two gentlemen have got the answer, so fire away. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Mike, welcome to the food chain.
Yes, Michael, Dr. Bader was just about to discuss dust mites, and I'd like to hear what he had to say, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks. Dust mites. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Bader, dust mites?
Yes, that's a real problem. You've got about 42,000 dust mites in every ounce of house dust. And
say that again?
You've got about 42,000 dust mites in every ounce of house dust.
Oh, boy, that's enough to make you become a Howard Hughes, isn't it?
Well, if you have an old mattress that's 10 years old or more, it could double the weight of the mattress in dead dust mites. That's fairly common. However, if it's really a problem with children, I've got 21 grandchildren, so I'm very concerned about dust mites in stuffed animals especially. And because almost every stuffed animal you've got in the house has got dust mites in it, and it can cause allergies in children and bring on allergic attacks. What you want to do is take the stuffed animal, put it in the plastic bag, put it into the freezer for 24 hours once a month to kill off the dust mites. And that'll work really well. Now, as far as mattresses, if you want to keep dust mites and bed bugs out of the bed, take some dryer sheets, anti-static dryer sheets, and put four of them under the mattress between the mattress pad and the box spring. and that'll keep them away from the bed. And it's got a lot of information about that.
Yeah.
Even how to keep, you know, ticks and fleas off your pet when they come inside.
So well, let's hear about ticks. Let's hear about do you run into ticks, Thomas?
Well, they run into me, Mike.
They run into you. You're out there, not. So you're running into you, yeah. Well, how do you keep ticks?
Well, if you want to keep them off you, Tom, all you have to do is take a dryer sheet and rub it on your skin when you're outside. The fleas and ticks, mosquitoes, they won't bother you.
Dryer
sheet? They'll stay away. Just a dryer, anti-static dryer sheet. And that'll solve the problem. But when a pet comes in from outside, they're bringing in everything under the world, coming into the house, into the carpet, into the furniture. What you want to do is take a lint roller. Take the lint roller and rub it over your pet before they get into the house. And that'll pick up any fleas, ticks, eggs that might be on the
pet.
Even
on long-haired dogs?
Long-haired dogs, cats, any type of animal you got coming into the house. It's been outside in the woods or the lawn or whatever.
Well, that certainly sounds humane to me.
Well, it really does. It really does work very well because these poison flea collars we don't want on the pet either.
Well,
and the book,
What is that? What is on those dryer sheets? I mean, they seem to solve everything in the world.
Well, there's a chemical in there, a stearate, that actually does the work, and it's like a soapy material. That's what you're feeling when you rub your fingers on it, and it just tends to totally eliminate the problem of mosquitoes, fleas, flies. We use it for a number of things. In fact, you can... I don't know if you've used
it. Well, I know. It seems like they're always the solution for almost 90% of the problems of the world. They tell you to use dryer sheets.
Not quite, but...
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We've got the pest control guys, Dr. Miles Bader, who is the author of Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters, and we have Thomas Whitman, president of Gophers Limited, and a new videographer has a new video out. What the heck is it?
There it is.
Easy gopher control without poisons. And you, we're curious to know what kind of bugs that you would like to get rid of. We have the experts here who can answer the questions. So pick up your phone and join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. We will be right back. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, we're flying high here on The Food Chain. We're talking about what's eating what today. Let's see if I can figure out how to do this without my board here. I'll press this button and see if that'll hold it. And there, Dr. Bader, we have you.
I'm here.
Good. I just lost the control panel on my computer, but we're flying blind, but we can do that because this is The Food Chain and we've done it before. We're talking a little bit about humane pest management, and I'd like to ask a specific question about humane pest management. And how do you humanely manage a skunk?
How do you humanely manage a skunk?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, they don't like ammonia and water. If you put ammonia and water in a spray bottle and spray it around the area, it'll get rid of them. However, they don't like to hear the human voice. So if you have if they're bothering a particular area, take a small transistor radio and put a talk station on there.
put the Food Chain on. That'll chase them away.
Don't
right?
put Fox News on there.
Okay.
Any other station will chase them away. But they don't like that.
But seriously, they don't like the human voice, huh?
No, they don't like the human voice. We've tried this before, and if we have a transistor radio... In fact, we've done this with gophers and moles, too. We put a small transistor radio down the entrance to one of the holes and put a hard rock music station on there, and it cleared out a whole backyard.
Wow. Thomas?
Well, I think they like 70s and 80s music stuff.
Do they really? Well, it depends.
Well, let's go to George, who has a cabin in Alaska. George, welcome to The Food Chain.
Hello, everybody. I live in California, but I've got a vacation cabin out in the woods in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And every time we go back up there, it's full of field mice and voles and things like that. And we don't see it sometimes for 6 months at a time.
And
is there anything I can do?
Love that problem. Yeah, we solve that real easy. They're allergic. The rodents family in general, especially the mice and rats and squirrels and chipmunks, are allergic to oil of peppermint. They don't like. Now, it's got to be the real oil of peppermint. You got to get it from a health food store, probably. Don't go to the supermarket and buy peppermint extract. You'll have drunk mice running around your property.
Okay.
So you want the real oil of peppermint, put a few drops on a cotton ball, place it anywhere you have a problem. You'll be amazed how long it'll last and keep them away. And we've tried this everywhere. It'd be amazing how well that works.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, you were talking about the same principle earlier, wherein you chase them away instead of trap them and kill them. You just encourage them to disappear.
Well, that works for a lot of the larger animals, like skunks, like you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to mice and rats, the only real solution I know of is exclusion. And that's figure out where they're getting in and put up either flashing or mesh everywhere around there. And exclusion is the only real answer for mice and rats.
Yeah, we've tried that, the exclusion. That does work.
If you can find all the holes, right?
Yeah, right. And we've tried the oil of peppermint in a number of places. And, of course, I do a lot of television shows and radio shows. And the people we've had calling in that have had good success with the oil of peppermint have been unbelievable. So I'm sold on it.
So you're the peppermint guy. Okay, let's go quickly to, let's see, let's try Bob. Folks, phone numbers today, if you have a critter that you want to manage, pick up your phone and join us, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Thomas Whitman here, and we have also Dr. Miles Bader, and we have the answer. I'm sure we do. So pick up your phone and join us. Bob, what is your critter?
Oh, well, first I would say when we first moved onto our farm, we were overrun with ticks, and we got a couple of guinea hens, and we don't see ticks anymore.
Really?
They like it. Well, anyhow, I called about the light brown apple moth and the spraying.
Go ahead.
As you sort of indicate, well, first I want to say there's a lot of misinformation around there. Everybody's
spreading misinformation, and
yeah.
It's really hard to figure out what's going on. Yes, you're absolutely.
But anyhow, it's not just the city people who are against the spraying. Myself and most of the farmers I know, with some exceptions, of course, are also against the spraying.
Well, let me ask you this: does anybody want to be sprayed with anything? You know. I don't think anybody wants to be sprayed.
Well,
nobody wants to be sprayed.
Probably not. But in this case, we have no objections to the pheromones, and there are tried and true methods, you know, with stations and so on. But this new delivery system, where from Sutera's website, we calculated that a cubic foot contains 200 billion particles, which is pollen-sized particles to be released into the environment, spread over our fields. For our honeybees, for the animals that eat grass and so on. Because they told us in Monterey that when they spraying, we're supposed to take the pets inside and wash down the children's play equipment.
Well, I have a suggestion for you. You know, we did this program last week, and there's a forum on metroforum.com, so I would appreciate it if you leave these comments on metroforum.com. And I'll ask Dr. Bader about the pheromones. You write about pheromones, correct, Dr. Bader?
I have in the past.
What do you think?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Since I dealt in that area.
Uh-huh. Well, so pheromones are not something new. They're something that have been around for a long time.
Oh, they've been around for a long time, and we use them with a lot of different insects. There are a lot of natural enemies for moss, so that, of course, there's a ground beetle. There's a number of things. I'm trying to remember everything. I just can't remember about that particular one.
Okay, well, let's move along then. Let's go to Donna. Donna, welcome to the food chain.
Hi. I don't know if I missed it or not, but we have both gophers and moles, and the moles are the hardest one. Is the solution or treatment the same?
Well, we have two experts, so let's go to both of them. Thomas, let's start with you. What do you do for gophers and moles, and are they the same thing, or what do you do?
Well, that's probably the most asked question I've ever gotten, and what's interesting about gophers and moles is that they're actually two very different animals. Gophers are rodents and primarily eat vegetation and roots. Moles are in the shrew family, and they primarily eat insects and worms. One thing about moles that's very tolerable, even though they make a big mess, is that their mounds are what smothers the grass and causes the big brown spots. So just the timely application of a springy rake to knock the mounds and spread them out is all you really need to stop the damage from a mole. But a gopher is another consideration because they do eat your grass and plants and other plantings, and so you either have to encourage the gopher to move to a different area, and if you're in a neighborhood, that means your neighbor's yard, or actually trap the gopher using a lethal trap because it's almost impossible to catch them live.
Have you ever? You've caught them live before, haven't you?
Well, I have, Michael.
Then we're going to have to...
Yeah, I've caught them live, too, just digging in the garden, and I've stumbled upon them. But the moles, I know they don't eat the plants, but they literally uproot them. We have real nice sandy soil, and they just go through and...
Rototill the place.
Yeah.
Like miniature wild pigs.
Yeah.
Can you hold on for a few minutes? We have to take a quick break. Donna,
sure.
Can you stick with us? Good. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking right now about gophers and moles and the difference thereof. We have with us two of the preeminent non-lethal, non-poisonous pest control people in the United States, Dr. Miles Bader, author of Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters, Thomas Whitman, president of Gophers Limited, and also the developer of the video Easy Gopher Control Without Poisons. And you, what is your critter, and how do you, and which critter do you want to get rid of? Pick up your phones and join us, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Welcome back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking a little bit about what's eating what with respect to the critters that are eating our stuff, and we don't want them to do that. So what do we do about them? Do we bring out the poison and spray them? Or do we figure out another way of dealing with them? We are talking with the people who have another way of dealing with them. Thomas Whitman, president of Gophers Limited. Easy Gopher Control Without Poisons is his video. And also Dr. Miles Bader, who is the author of Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters. And right now we're talking about managing gophers with Donna. You are invited to participate, 800-624-2665-831-479-1080. Donna has gophers and moles, correct, Donna?
Yes.
Both of them are driving you nuts?
The moles right now are the worst.
Ah. And what is it about the moles that is driving you nuts? Because they're not eating your plants.
No, but they uproot them, and then when you walk out in the garden, you can practically fall in the tunnel that they make.
And disappear down the rabbit hole, as it were. Okay, so how do we deal with moles? Let's start with you, Thomas.
Well, moles have two different kinds of tunnels. One are the deep tunnels that go underneath lawns and stuff, and you can always identify those by the volcano-shaped mounds that are near them. But the kind of damage that you're talking about is a mole's feeding area. It's when a mole comes to the surface and just kind of swims around and dislodges young plants and things like that. And so there's only a couple things that I could think of to do. One is to use a wire barrier underneath your garden, usually called gopher wire. And the other is to use various drenches to put in your soil to make the soil less palatable, especially for a mole that's very interested in taste and smell. And one of the best ones I know of is castor oil. And when I was a kid, my mom would give me a teaspoon of that castor oil whenever I got sick, and I never got sick after that.
Dr. Bader, gophers and moles. Are you there? Here, maybe it may help.
I guess I had to take it as a kid, too, so I'm not much for that reason, but I'm sure it'll work. What we recommend is garlic. Making a solution of garlic and water and spraying that on the lawn. And that'll take care of the problem pretty much. They'll keep them away from your plants. It'll also kill the grubs, which is a big food for the gophers and other little critters like that.
So how do you make this garlic?
Well, you need to boil some garlic
and
water.
Some extra virgin olive oil?
Well, you can if you'd like. You need to crush it up and chop it up really fine. And you need to put it in water and cook it a little bit and get the water and use the water after it cools down as a spray.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that works very well. Get rid of the grubs as well as keep them away from the plants.
Good. Okay. And Donna disappeared, so I guess that will suffice. Let me ask you about my problem, deer.
Well, there's a number of ways to get rid of deer. The Japanese came up with a great way a couple of years ago. They use big cat manure. I don't know if you've heard of that or not. From the lions and tigers.
Mm-hmm.
and now found in a lot of garden supply and nurseries. And just don't go down to the zoo and collect it yourself with a long-handled shovel. But if you go to the garden supply or nursery, pick up a bag of that big cat manure, spray it around the area the deer are frequenting. It'll keep the deer away. It'll keep the small animals away. Probably keep a few neighbors away as well. And that'll work well. And also you want to use green soap, the peppermint soap. You can grind that up. You can sprinkle it in the air. You can cut up the bars, hang it from a bush or tree if they're bothering that. And you can also, if you'd like, plant molasses grass. If you plant that around the area they're frequenting, they won't come near the area. They don't like molasses grass.
Hmm. Never even heard of molasses grass.
Yeah, there are a number of other ways in the book, a lot of other ways. I just can't remember them all.
Okay, let's go to Thomas. Thomas Whitman?
Well,
deer.
I like that, Michael. one thing that that's different, I know that you're in Florida, Doctor, but we're in California, and in California, the rain stops pretty soon, and by April or May, we don't see another drop of rain until October or November. And so as it consistently gets drier, the deer get consistently more desperate to find something to eat. And so they eat almost anything, including the deer-resistant plantings that we try, and it's the last thing they eat. So the only solution I have for deer, really, is to put up a fence. And there's a couple different kinds of fence. The cheaper ones now that you can buy at the local arboretum here carries it is a nylon mesh that you can barely even see that keeps deer out.
Hmm.
On our farm, we did put up a couple miles of this deer fence that solved all of our problems pretty quickly.
So when the grasses grow thin, the things that you put on the ground to chase them, the way the smells and whatnot, become less effective because the deer become more desperate for food, so they ignore the things that they don't like. And
yeah, they're extremely desperate come midsummer.
Okay, let's go quickly to Roger. Roger, welcome to the food chain.
Yeah, hi, Michael. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for tuning in today.
Yeah, well, I was just calling up to put my 2 cents in on the mold situation, as one year at my house, I killed 28.
28 now, moles?
28 moles.
Wow. Did you scalp them and put their scalps on your fence post there so that...
No, I'll tell you, they have the softest fur in town, that's for sure.
With 28, you could almost make a mole coat then.
I know it. But anyway, they're such cute little buggers, but they just tear up everything. And with the lady that you had on... They do. They run around the edges of the concrete and in your planting areas and kind of tear everything up, especially if you plant a new plant and if you've watered an area, they especially like that.
Well, Roger, thank you for the call. Going to have to take a quick break, but thank you for tuning in, folks. This is The Food Chain. We're going to pick up Judy when we come back. And you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Big question. How do we get a copy of Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters and Easy Gopher Control Without Poisons? Gotta stay tuned. Hey, we're back. We're talking about what's eating what. Most specifically, we're talking about the pests that are eating your garden and your farm. Roger, back with you. How on earth did you kill so many moles in one season?
Okay, Michael. Well, there's a couple of different types of traps. There's those scissor traps that you can put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the second way is with the spike traps that go straight down into the ground, which will catch
them. So you're a trapper then, right?
Well, that's two ways. There's another way to catch them. You have to wake up very early, like barely at the crack of dawn. Make sure you water down around a lot of areas in the evening before you go to bed. And go out there and stand around where the edges of the concrete are, or your driveway is, or your sidewalk is. And watch the ground. And a lot of times you'll start seeing it starting to hump and bump around. Have your garden hose ready or a shovel, and preferably a garden hose, because as soon as you move, they'll feel the vibration and they'll stop. So you get the garden hose, you shove it down the hole, and pretty soon you'll see their little nose stick up out of the ground. And if you see the nose and put the water directly on that spot, then it'll come jumping up right out of the soil.
And there you've got them.
Then you can pick them up with some real heavy gloves or beat them with a shovel or do whatever you want to do to get rid of them.
Okay, good. Thanks for the call, Roger. We're going to go quickly to Robbie. Robbie, welcome to the food chain.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, this pest is kind of large and dangerous. Have your guests got anything for mountain lion abatement?
Oh, good one. All right, let's ask them. Dr. Bader, what about mountain lions? How do you get rid of... Let me guess, you put rabbit pheromones around or something.
Move.
Okay, Robbie, thanks for the call. Let's go quickly to Judy. Jody. Judy, is that you?
Yeah, hello.
Fire away, girl.
Oh, last night I had the cat door open for the cat to come in the house.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that the raccoon discovered it. And
well, a good thing a mountain lion didn't come in.
Yeah. it just ate up all the cat food. But I'm just wondering, is there anything I can do to discourage the raccoon from coming in?
Okay. Thomas?
Well, the raccoons
are coming in the cat door.
First thing you can do is get a cat door that uses a magnetic collar release. Your cats can wear a magnetic collar, and only the cat can get in then.
Then your cat might get stuck to a car that's driving by.
That's true. But that's one way. The other way is just start closing your cat door a little earlier in the night, and the cat will learn to come in earlier, and that might solve the problem too.
Okay, good. Dr. Bader?
Yeah, anything I tell you will keep the cat away as well as the raccoon. If you want to get rid of your cat, I can tell you what to do.
Well, how do you get rid of stray cats?
Well, now, if they're digging up the garden, you want to just sprinkle some cayenne pepper, red pepper, or black pepper around the area, or as I mentioned earlier, spray the area with ammonia and water.
Mm-hmm.
And vinegar and water will work, too.
What about
and
that'll those,
keep them away.
What about those dryer sheets?
I don't know if the dryer sheet will work on the cat.
Hey, let me ask you, how do we go about getting Club the Bugs and Scare the Critters?
Well, it's not in the bookstores, not on the internet bookstores. The only way is to go to food22.com.
Food22.com. Is that food22.com?
Yes, or by calling 877-572-9519. 877-572-9519. Now we got a special deal if you call today.
Good. Let me go quickly to Thomas. How do we get easy gopher control without poisons?
Well, the best way is at my website, gopherslimited.com. One word, gopherslimited.com, or you can call.
Thank you all out there for tuning in. This has been The Food Chain. Remember, cheap food isn't.
Listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.